Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
To God be the glory for the reading of his word. Would you join in "When Peace Like a River" as we rejoice in the hope of Jesus Christ. Today we'll sing verses 2 and 3, a cappella. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan, third verse, redeemed, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well. It is well, it is well with my soul. Last verse. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Women, can you sing for us? It is well
with my soul.
And together,
it is well. It is well with my soul.
I wish you could all be up here and hear you singing. I wish I could take you home with me to the parsonage and sing all week long. Isn't it a blessing, the language of music God has created? We would be lost without it. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. We've all heard some form of that phrase along the line, right? But think about this. Peace and hope are awesome to talk about, but are they real? Peace and hope, are they real? I wonder, as we struggle, as we worry, as we watch others struggle and worry, as we see injustice after injustice and seem to have little answer, as problems mount, as uncertainty becomes ever more the norm, as we answer one more telemarketer call, are peace and hope real? You know, it's easy to forget when we read Romans, because it's such an awesome book describing both the Christian sinful nature and the need for coming together in love. But the fact is, the Apostle Paul was writing to a group of Christians for whom hope was, no doubt, in short supply. I mean, they lived in the heart of Roman darkness in the government, right under the nose of Caesar himself. They lived in an empire in which that same Caesar was declared Deus et Dominus, which is translated, of course, God and Lord, on every coin in their pockets. What's more, the regime was increasingly hostile to the then new Christian faith, and before too long, they would flex their muscles in trying to get rid of this new band of believers, putting to death even the very apostle penning this letter of hope to the Roman Christians. So if you're going to preach hope to these people living under those conditions, you had better know what you're talking about. These people can't afford to have sunny but finally empty promises come their way. They can't tolerate false hopes because those have a way of making already bad situations much worse. What's worse, only a viciously cruel person would give them false hope given their circumstances. Now, how's that any different from us today? How many of us feel we're in hopeless times? Or peaceless times? Or faithless times? Or churchless times? I could go on, but you get the idea. But here's the thing. Paul wasn't selling the Romans false hope. He was proclaiming a hope which could not die because it emerged from the death of God's own Son, Jesus. The hope that was forged in the fires of death cannot itself then die when suffering and persecution come, because this is a gospel hope which transcends all suffering on account of having been burned out of hell and death. And the worst suffering ever. This hope shields us against destructive forces of suffering and death. And this is a hope which has given us access to grace, as our passage says. Access to grace. A grace Paul colorfully pictures for us. We are standing hip deep in. Maybe we're neck deep in it. We stand in hope, and this hope, Paul says, cannot put us to shame or disappoint us because of the love we now should feel pouring into our hearts, given through the Holy Spirit. So that's it, right? That's the end of the sermon today. Not quite. You know, that all sounds good. Sounds awesome. And Paul and the Christians back then, I'm sure it was fantastic. But boy, I think we'd all agree, peace and hope seem to be missing today. Peace, comfort, assurance, calm, blessing, we all long for it. From bullies to victims, from the popular to the poor, from the important people to the least of these. We all need peace. We need hope. We need an assurance because uncertainty lingers as days roll by. What is my purpose? Where is my place? Where do I belong? As years and days change, those questions are still there. And as I think about those questions more, here's what I come to. Sure, everyone has a purpose. Everyone can make a difference. I talk about that a lot. But here's something else. Why are we asking the questions to begin with? If we're true believers, why are we asking the questions to begin with? What's lacking for us? What do we need in order to have a purpose, a place, a feeling of belonging? Well, truth is, no one feels included 100% of the time. Although we're trying. At church here, I've talked about, and our vision team has talked about, and so many others have talked about, how can we all have a voice? I'm sure in biblical times, all persons, though from the Apostle Paul to the woman at the well, felt on the outside looking in. We all know Jesus had crowds who hailed him, but they also had crowds which what? Mocked him. And today we know connection is so hard to come by. People more than ever seem to be drawn apart rather than pulling together. So, what's missing? And you know, I think it's peace and hope in some form or another. We all need a peace to know our suffering, whatever it is, problems financially, physically, mentally, spiritually, socially. Just for a brief time, we have to know that they're only for a bit. We just want to be sure there's an end in sight. And in the church, it's the same, right? Peace and hope seem to be missing. Why? Because we're human hands, not always having the heart of Jesus. What if we heard Paul's assurance this morning? Peace and hope are not just a dream, but a reality. Peace and hope on our own do no good. Oh yes, I'd love to consider a peaceful world where everyone gets along. No one's disrespectful towards anyone else. No violence, no hatred, no rage. I can go on, but you get the idea. As I said earlier, I'd love to imagine a hope never running dry, where I can leap out of my bed knowing the day's gonna be awesome, where God moments will decorate my life, where I will treat everyone with love, and everyone I run into that day will offer that same love right back to me. Well, then I turn on my computer and it doesn't work. Or I get a call which reminds me of things which need to get done. Or worse, I feel someone's pain when they want to share from their soul. Or I run into somebody I don't agree with. And I wonder, oh, if we just all could make peace and hope a little more real, wouldn't it be so wonderful? And my friends, we can do it. My question is, do we want to? do we want to? Do we want peace and hope to be real or just a dream, something nice to think about? In his book, Hope is Contagious, Christian Ken Hutchinson shares a moment from his personal life which illustrates, well, the ability to foster joy in the midst of trying circumstances, even as he was battling cancer. Several of you are cancer survivors, and I'm sure could relate. He says, you can face anything in life, anything, and have inner peace and joy. And when you do, it's contagious and lifts up everyone else around you. Isn't that the type of person you want to be? Instead of joining over and over again in the whining about how bad things are, just your presence shows others. Your positive presence shows others. Hey, life's a wonderful gift we should all be enjoying. One day, he goes on to say, I was relaxing in my recliner after having spent 5 hours in the emergency room the night before. I'll admit I was exhausted and the pain medication wasn't working as well as I would have liked. Well, I looked around and I saw my family going about their lives as usual. Video games, chores, music, laughter. My wife Pat was fixing breakfast. Even our little puppy was settling into her comfortable routine and enjoying everyone's efforts to spoil her. Well, then a visitor stopped by to chat. Some friends from church surprised me with a birthday cake. I had almost forgotten it was my birthday. So, there I sat, he goes on to say, surrounded by so much goodness. Even as I'm feeling lousy, my favorite cake is staring at me, but I have no appetite. My 11-year-old runs past me, and I don't have enough energy to grab her and wrestle her to the ground like I used to. I'm trying to have a conversation with my guests, but between the short nights and the powerful pain pills, I can barely stay alert. And you know what I'm thinking? Can you imagine how close to being overwhelmed I am with all this happening? But the words come spilling out of me. Isn't God great? What a privilege to be his child. Well, God bless him, friends, because I think Ken is vastly in the minority of us. How many of us truly give thanks for being God's child when everything's going wrong? I'd like to tell you a little bit about what it's been like getting my cell phone fixed. It still isn't. First, we went to a store. Let's back up. We ordered a model on Verizon. And we were told that model was going to work. Well, it didn't. And the Verizon people deactivated my old phone before activating the new one. And they said to me later, well, we didn't know the new one wouldn't work. It's your fault. Which, technically, they're right. It is. And then we went to another provider, and I'll never forget that Saturday. We walked into Donna Apicella and I walked into a Metro PCS store, and we pulled out the phone that we ordered on Amazon. We're all excited. There's no battery in the phone. They forgot to send it with a battery. So then I went home and I realized, oh man, I've got a battery in a phone that I used to have from 2012. And so let's go back. And we thought the store had closed at 7 o'clock. And I said, absolutely, it can't have closed. Well, wait, Metro PCS and T-Mobile are combined. They sold us that and said that. We went to T-Mobile in the same mall. We can't activate your phone because we're actually not one company. We're two different ones. And then, this goes on. And then I feel like I'm in an Aflac moment. And then we went back to Metro PCS a couple days later, and Metro was closed. They said, we'll be back in a half hour. And it turns out there was a power outage in Hanover on that Monday. And so the store was closed. So we sat for a half hour waiting for nothing at all. And then we called the York store and they said, we'll take care of it for you. So a couple days later, we got it fixed. But the phone we found now is coming apart and we are getting a new phone. Hopefully, friends, at the end of this, my hair will still be intact. I was not at any point along the line thinking, I am God's child. How great is God? Friends, that's where peace and hope come in. We all need peace and hope as his child. Being enfolded in the love of Jesus is the only peace and hope which can last, because everything else breaks down. Amen? Being drawn together by the power of the Holy Spirit ignites a candle of love which should never go out by the faith we share, the joy we feel, and the gospel message which is ours and can be everyone's. It's up to us to share that hope. Yes, friends, peace and hope are not a dream. They are a reality. Peace and hope are why the church has work to do. Peace and hope give us strength to journey on. Peace and hope offer us courage to never give up, to keep proclaiming Jesus is Lord, and to say his love endures forever, even if sometimes it sure feels like his love is quite absent. The song in Les Miserables, I quote that musical a lot because I love it, says, there's a line in there, it says, he gave me hope when hope is gone. He gave me strength to journey on. That's what the Lord does. So I'll ask you again this morning, do you want to have that peace and hope yourselves anew every day? Do you wake up in the morning and in some way give thanks for another day to serve Christ? Do you rejoice you have what you have? Do you wish for God to show you a way to make the world better today? Do you embrace problems knowing this too shall pass? Somehow you'll get through it. There are people to help you if you let them, and somehow you'll come out the other side okay. You know, friends, being a Christian, it's harder than ever today because people just want to hear any semblance of faith. Or maybe they don't. They might or might not. They may or may not care. And in many cases, they don't even think about religious thought being important. Many because they've been burnt, and some because they haven't grown up in any sort of influence in that direction. It's up to each of us to have the peace and hope of Jesus in us so we can show them a light of hope, joy, peace, and love, a light which should make someone's world brighter who otherwise may be in darkness. But do we want to, or are we missing that peace and hope ourselves to the point it's so tough for us to say it truly is well with our souls, as we sung earlier, and therefore we are unable to communicate that peace and hope in Christ to bring someone else ultimate and eternal comfort? Friends, if we don't have it ourselves, how can we share it with others? In the words of theologian B.W. Johnson, the peace of Christ is so sweet, and the hope of the saint so glorious, that the Christian can ever exult in present suffering. Friends, what does Paul say We have been justified through the faith we have. So have we? Do we have the faith which allows us to prosper in our problems, rejoice when we want to rebel? Do we have hope even when we hurt so very much? If you're struggling to have that peace and hope in your life this morning, I'd like you to pray. Pray that Christ enter your heart in a new way today. We all need renewal. We all need reminded that His hope and peace are the only lasting hope and peace that'll get us through anything. I'd be glad to have you come forward to pray with me as we sing our last hymn. But just keep in mind that there is peace and hope. And in our church, where is the peace? Where is the hope? Maybe it's in Vacation Bible School. Maybe it's in the 10 new members, potentially 10 new members we're taking in this year. Maybe it's in some new initiatives that we're doing, like the service project Sharon Meyer's putting together. Maybe it's in the school kits. Maybe it's in our kids going back to school. Parents, don't say amen. As we close, let's reflect, though, on the words of Peace and Hope by Richard Leach. Hope is a candle, once lit by the prophets, never consumed, though it burns through the years, dim in the daylight of power and privilege. When they are gone, hope will shine on. Peace is a candle to show us a pathway, threatened by gusts from our rage and our greed. Friend, fell no envy for those in the shadows. Violence and force, their dead-end course. Love is a candle whose light makes a circle, where every face is the face of a friend. Widen the circle by sharing and giving. God's holy dare, love everywhere. Joy is a candle of mystery and laughter, mystery of light that is burned and born in the dark. Laughter at hearing the voice of an angel, ever so near, casting out fear. Christ is the light which the prophets awaited. Christ is the lion, the lamb, and the child. Christ is the love and the mystery and laughter. Candles make way. Christ is the day. My friends, we're the candles. We are the peace and hope for this world, extending the peace and hope of Jesus. And we are that peace and hope that it's not a dream, it's a real thing. Let's make sure by our actions, through the grace we've been given, the dream never dies. It forms into a reality both in and out of this church, which will bless, surprise, and thrive a world both striving and starving for hope and a future. What does the prophet Jeremiah say through the Lord? Behold, I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to provide hope and a future. Together, friends, let's form a church which will rest always in the peace of Christ and stand on Him, the solid rock, so we truly can be beacons this world needs to see. Yeah, true, sometimes peace and hope can seem completely gone, but one person at a time, we can make it real by the day. Lifting up Jesus, that's our purpose. Being safe in His arms, that's our place. And home with Him, and as many as possible in heaven at last, that's where we belong. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Friends, there's no better peace and hope than that, is there? To God be the glory. Amen. If you are wanting to pray with me, I'd be glad to pray with you. Please come forward as we sing our hymn of hope. My hope is built. Would you stand if you're able? We'll sing the last verse then, a cappella. Last verse.
righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
So friends, you're the candles. Don't dim them. Don't let the dream die. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. That's the peace and hope the church and us need to make a difference. So go do it. Amen.